Good morning. Greet each one in Christ's precious name. It's good to be with you at Leola this morning. Enjoyed the service. Had a lot of good challenges already this morning. Message title is Let Us Run the Race. Let us run the race. And we just want to, you just heard that devotions and about heaven. That's our goal. And that's what we need to run this race. That's what it's all about. None of us want to miss that. Only those that will successfully run the race and go to that finish line are going to get there. It's a challenge as we go through life. Turn to Hebrews 12. Messages come to us in different ways. And some time ago, I was at another church, and a brother used a few verses from Hebrews 12 for his devotions. And as I looked down over that chapter, I thought, you know, that'll make a message. I think I need those challenges from this chapter. So we're going to read the first 15 verses. I know it's breaking in, but I'm going to read Hebrews 12. 1 to 15. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof are all partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had our fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So what is this race that we're talking about? Our journey with God as Christians is described a number of places in the Bible as a race. Verses 1 and 2 likens our lives as believers to a race. This race starts the moment that you receive Christ as your personal Savior. And it lasts until you die or until Christ returns. It's not a sprint race or a 100-yard dash, but it's a marathon. It's a race with many terrains, some smooth and some bumpy. It's a race filled with obstacles, trials, and difficulties. And God has set before each of us a race that we must run. this race, it will involve hard work, and it will require determination, motivation, and most importantly, endurance. It's a unique race in that everyone who enters the race is assured of victory if they make it to the finish line. I wrote down three promises. There's many, many more. Just three promises for those that make it to the finish line. You don't have to look this up. Number one, you are assured of an everlasting crown. 1 Peter 5:4 says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." The second one, you are assured of a great reward. Colossians 3:24 reads like this, "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." And the third one, you are assured that you will triumph over the enemy and death. And that is 1 Corinthians 5:15, verses 54 to 57. I'll read that. "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And that's just a few of those promises. But receiving all this depends how you and I run the race. Well, this morning we're going to go through this chapter, Hebrews 12, that we just read, and my points come from these verses. I have 9 points, so we'll try and work through them. And these will be things that will help us run our race successfully. Point number one, we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. I'll repeat that. We are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. You know, chapter 12 starts out, says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." The Greek word nephes is used for cloud, meaning a mass of cloud that covers the heaven. I like that. You know, this symbolizes the great number of victorious saints standing as witnesses. Who are these witnesses? Well, Hebrews 11 gives us quite a list. If you jump back to Hebrews 11, we don't have time to look into that. But there's a list. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and the list goes on and on. Turn to just back to a page to Hebrews 11, 13 to 16. Our brother mentioned this in our Sunday school. I'm going to read Hebrews 11, verses 13 to 16. "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." Some beautiful verses talking about this cloud of witnesses. You know, if these saints listed here, if these saints in the past could faithfully endure such tortures and trials and remain faithful, you and I can as well. You know, though the saints gone before may not be able to observe our race, we can still feel their encouragement by what's written here. And besides gaining encouragement, we can learn from their stories of what made them successful. And I feel so blessed when I think of all the faithful people in my life that impacted my life, impacted your life. You know, I let my mind run. I can imagine some of my church leaders, Aaron Shank, Raymond Hyde, Joe Ball, my father-in-law, Floyd Haldeman, impacted my life a lot. Fill in the blank with your loved one, those that impacted your life. I can imagine them saying, "Brother, keep running. Sister, keep running. You know, don't give up. It'll be worth it." So the question is, are you and I going to be part of that cloud of witnesses? Something we need to think about. The only way we will be is to keep running the race set before us. Point number two, lay aside every weight and sin. I'll repeat that. Lay aside every weight and sin. Let's pretend we're gathering to watch a race. And one of the runners comes with a lot of baggage. It's really weighed down. You know, maybe he came with a bag of food, a coat in case it got cool, or an extra pair of shoes, his briefcase with all his important business paper, etc. Put in the list. You know, we would say, you're never going to win that race. You need to shed that weight. Get rid of it. Well, the writer urges you and I this morning that we are to lay aside every weight and the sin. The word weight refers to anything that hinders. It implies something that's on the outside. The word sin comes from a root that means to miss a mark. It implies something on the inside. You know, a weight will not necessarily doom a runner's efforts to win, but it certainly does jeopardize his ability to focus on the goal and to endure to the end. But sin, you and I know, will disqualify the runner unless he repents of it and forsakes it. Thinking about some of the weights, what are some of the weights that are not necessarily wrong to us, are wrong to have, but are things that may hinder your running? And I just wrote down a few. You know, maybe it's a problem that you're facing. Worry, hurt feelings, maybe someone hurt you really bad. Discouragement, a bad habit, a hobby, too high a debt load, our businesses. You know, God really don't want us to get bogged down with the cares of this life. So the point is, you and I must deliberately and decisively lay aside every weight that is hindering us on our journey to heaven. And if there's sin in your life, we need to repent and forsake every sin, because those sins will disqualify us for running in the Christian race. In this life, weight and sin will impact our lives, and it will hinder our race. So it's only through consistent self-denial can we expect to win the race. Point number three is run with patience. I'll repeat that. Run with patience. Patience means steadfastness, endurance, perseverance. You know, this race that you and I are running can only be won through patient endurance. We just need to keep at it, day after day after day. I thought about Jesus. You know, just as Jesus needed to patiently endure through his life and death on earth to accomplish salvation, so we must endure to the end to receive our reward. You know, no one gains the crown halfway through the race. Doesn't happen. It's at the end of the race. Anyone with half-hearted commitment or who gives up partway through will not win the race. Running with patience and remaining faithful unto the end is essential to finishing the race and entering heaven, which our brother talked about. You know, there have been many who started running this race but became discouraged because maybe a lot different reasons. Because it was just too hard. And I believe our soft, easy American lifestyle has conditioned us to expect that the Christian life should be soft and easy. But just look at the list of things the faithful saints listed in Hebrews 11. What they endured. Go to the end of the chapter 11. It just talks about all that they faced. It's amazing all that they faced. We have it pretty good. But we should expect to endure hardships on our race to glory. We will. We will face some hard things in life. That's life. Point number 4 is looking unto Jesus. I'll repeat that, looking unto Jesus. Let's talk about looking. Looking implies more than just a casual glance. You know, if we just look out the window. It means more than that. It means turning the eyes away from other things and fixing them on something. You know, the runner in a natural race does not pay undue attention to the other runners or to his surroundings. You know, his focus remains on the goal and he's on the lookout for any potential hazards to be reaching the goal. You know, our focus needs to be on Jesus with an all-absorbing interest that ignores all else. Why do we need to look to Jesus? I just wrote down 3 reasons. The first reason, this verse says, he is the author and finisher of our faith. You know, he is the author in that he was willing to come to this earth. We know what all he did. He's willing to come to this earth. He was willing to shed his blood and give his life to provide redemption that he alone could provide. And he's the finisher of our faith in that he will bring redemption to full completion. The second reason is we look to Jesus because he showed us how to endure through the exercise of hope. You know, Jesus, in his humanity, endured the intense suffering of the cross. But he could hold the shame of the crucifixion in low estimation because he looked in hope beyond the suffering to the joy that was set before him. It talks about that in the verses we read. He looked at the joy that was set before him. He knew what was going to happen after this. But he was patient, endured it for us. And the third reason, we look to Jesus because considering him is crucial to our never giving up. You know, just think about Jesus' earthly ministry and what all he faced And we could make quite a list. You know, men just opposed his work. They were against him. They were out to get him. They perverted his sayings, ridiculed his claims. He just faced a lot of opposition when he was here. Think about the end of his life on this earth. Remember the battle that Jesus was having in the Garden of Gethsemane. It said something like, Jesus' sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. You know, he was facing some hard times. He knew what the next step was. But he followed through with the plan of salvation. And he poured out his lifeblood to redeem man from sin. And you and I are blessed to be recipients of his love and his mercy. The gift of salvation. We are so blessed. Well, you and I will face opposition. And that constant conflict has the potential to wear us down and cause us to give up running our race. But remember what our point was. Looking unto Jesus should inspire us and give us renewed energy just to keep running our race. Point number 5 is despise not the chastening of the Lord. Despise not the chastening of the Lord. Verses 5 to 11 talk about the Lord chastening us, and it has a lot to say about that. We already read it. You know, these verses tell us how the Lord chastens us, rebukes us, and even scourges us. Looked up some of these words. Chastening means discipline, trains. Rebuke means admonishes, convinces. Scourges means flogs in a figurative sense. And yes, the ungodly receive chastening. But these verses are talking to the Lord's children. You know, because of his love for us, he is going to send things our way that aren't going to feel too good. And I know you already have faced a lot of that. But we must choose not to despise or to regard lightly his fatherly interest in our spiritual growth and well-being. You know, he created us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And he knows what we really need and what will be good for us. Verse 6 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. So if you're being chastened, the Lord loves you. We don't always look at it like that. You know, all of us parents understand this concept. We all know that what would happen to our children if they would receive no chastening from us. It wouldn't be a good situation. You know, if we would let them do what they want to do, let them have what they want to have, just let them live the way they want to live, we probably will be ashamed to call them our children. That's how it will be. That's how it will turn out. So chastening and sonship are inseparable. You know, any father and mother worthy of that title deals with their children in a manner that helps them to develop good character and maturity. And, you know, certainly the same is true of us and our Heavenly Father. On the other hand, every worthy son will have the fortitude to remain under his father's discipline. And if we refuse to allow divine discipline to perfect us, then it talks about it in these verses. We are a bastard and not a legitimate born-again son or daughter. Some strong words. Verse 9 talks about our earthly fathers, how they corrected us and we gave them reverence. To all us earthly fathers, we correct our children. But we're human. We didn't always get it right, or we don't always get it right. But we still demand respect. Our Heavenly Father deserves respect and submission, even more than us earthly fathers do. Our Heavenly Father talks about it, chastens for our profit, with perfect understanding what is best for us. Well, you and I do not enjoy chastening. We don't. But it will happen. So when we face it, we need to ask God what He would have us to learn from it. You know, He alone knows the future. And He's shaping events in our best interest. So as we think about that, you know, with this in mind, we need to look for the blessings in chastening rather than doubting that God knows best. Point number 6. Lift up the hands and strengthen the knees. I'll repeat that. Lift up the hands and strengthen the knees. Talks about the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. That implies that the runner is so fatigued by the race that he has no incentive or energy to continue. The simple word weary would describe what we become when we go through difficult times. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Did you ever see someone running a race with their hands dangling by their side? You know, physically, that would produce a degree of drag. Mentally and emotionally, the effect would be extremely weakening. You know, likewise in the Christian race, hands which hang down speaks of exhaustion, discouragement, and despair. You know, when the hands are not actively engaged, they cannot hold up God's word for personal inspiration and evangelism, or perform good works that glorify God, or reach out to help and serve others. It's not going to happen. You know, if the hands hang down, the knees will soon be paralyzed. One of the best ways to strengthen your knees is to get on your knees and pour out your needs and your struggles to God. We need to ask Him to strengthen us. Claim His promises to supply all our needs. You know, think about a natural race. Every runner strives to win at the expense of all others. But in the Christian race, each of us should be intent upon the success of all of us. In other words, this is a joint effort. You know, the race is not a competition against others running in the race, but against the forces that seek our defeat. You know, the devil and his powers want to take one of us. They want to take all of us. So reaching out to help others does not hinder our progress. It's an integral part of running the race. You know, we don't run this race alone, and that's a blessing. You know, we don't have one winner out of this group here this morning. We can all be winners if we just run together and keep running and run to the finish line. You know, we are responsible to help lift up our brother if he stumbles. And we must not be too proud to accept the lift another gives us. You know, maybe it's just that word of encouragement that a brother or sister needs just to keep on faithfully. That might be all they need to boost their knees. So let's be there to help. Lift up the hands and strengthen the knees. Point number 7 is make straight paths for your feet. I'll repeat that. Make straight paths for your feet. Making straight paths for your feet is for your benefit and for those walking with you and for those following on behind. You can just think about it. When a track or a race course is being made, they make the paths straight and remove all the rocks and all the obstacles out of the way. You know, the path is very obvious and the paths are clear. You know, you can't run a race and win looking at your feet and the surrounding as you run. But the Christian life race that we're on is a little different than a natural race. Our pathway isn't always smooth. There's a lot of obstacles that we need to go around and overcome. And there's detours that we can take that'll take us down the wrong path. There's probably 2 reasons why people quit running this race. There's many more than 2, but I wrote down 2. Number 1, they get tired. You know, it's just too hard. So they just give up. And the second one is they get off the right path. They take a detour. They see a path that looks a lot easier. You know, in terms of running the race that we're running, staying on the right path is so crucial. It is. It not only means progressing toward the destination, it also means avoiding dangers which lurk off the intended route. Proverbs 4, 26 and 27 read like this. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. 2 good verses that we need to heed to. The Bible is very clear that only one way leads to the heavenly goal. This means that turning aside to another path will lead us to eternal death. And we know the verse, you know, God is not willing that any should perish. So he urges every runner to do his utmost to bring healing to those who are haltering and to make the true path as easy to find and follow as possible. Well, we talked about making the path easier for people and reaching out and helping them in this race, and that's all good. Although the success of others is important, personal success remains our ultimate responsibility. So the last 2 points are directed to us personally and are very important. If you remember, we read Hebrews 12, verse 14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So point number 8 is follow peace with all men. I'll repeat that. Follow peace with all men. So what is peace? I think we all know what peace is. Looked it up. A state of tranquility or quiet. Harmony in personal relations. The truth is, life brings challenges. It does. And we don't always think alike. So there will be things to work through, but we should be able to work them out. Turn to Matthew 22. I thought about the second greatest commandment that Jesus gave. I I'm going to read Matthew 22:36-40, because we need the first greatest commandment for our next point. Matthew 22, verse 36, says, "Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." You see, if we really love our neighbor as ourself, then we usually will be able to make peace. Let's not forget about this verse. And there are situations that may never be worked out. I realize that. Then you need to do your best and let the rest up to God to work out. I just want to ask you a few questions to get your minds thinking, because it is serious business. Because it says, right here, Hebrews 12, "Without peace, no man shall see the Lord." You know, every one of us gets asked twice a year whether we have peace with God and our fellow men at council meeting. Here's just a few questions. Who do people know me as? Who do they know you as? Am I an easy to get along with person? Do I pursue and try to make peace? Or am I a hard to get along with person? Are my ways of doing something always right? Does it have to be my way or the highway? You know, I just want you to stop and just look back over your life. You know, have you been a peacemaker? Or have you made pieces of situation after situation? You know, it's just a few questions that you and I need to think about. You know, God already knows the answers to these questions. And it's a challenge as we go through life. But let's be a peaceable person, people, because it says, "Without peace, no man shall see the Lord." I just want to read a little poem I came across, and just listen closely. The first four lines will make pieces, while the last four lines will make peace. It goes like this: "A careless word may kindle strife. A cruel word may wreck a life. A bitter word may hate instill. A brutal word may smite and kill. A gracious word may smooth the way. A joyous word may light the day. A timely word may lessen stress. A loving word may heal and bless." Let's be peaceable people. And let's just help each other on this race that we're running. Point number 9 is follow holiness. I'll repeat that, follow holiness. You know, back to the first and greatest commandment that we just read. If we love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind, then we will live a life of holiness. If we follow that verse, you and I will live a life of holiness. What is holiness? Look that up. Pure, undefiled, totally separate from any evil. Just a couple verses here. 1 Peter 1:15-16. "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Ephesians 4, verse 24 says, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." You know, holiness begins on the inside. It's a result of accepting Christ as our personal Savior and a result of the Holy Spirit living within us. You know, holiness is not something we wear or an action that we do, but it's something we become in our heart. You know, holiness is the fruit of a life separated unto God. You know, we disconnect from the world. Flee them temptations that you're going to face. And everything that defiles us. You know, we all know. We live in the world. This world is it's an ungodly place. It's a filthy place. Holiness requires living in obedience to God and His Word. And if we want to live a holy life, we're going to need to separate ourselves from the world. It's a choice that you and I need to make. You know, we must choose to keep ourselves pure. It means crucifying the flesh and its lustful desires. We are commanded to be holy and consecrated unto the Lord in body, soul, and spirit. It's something that you and I can't do on our own strength. We need His help. We do. You know, living a life of holiness will affect every area of life. You know, it's pretty easy right now. Today, we're sitting in church. We can live a holy life. What happens next week? Going to face a lot of temptations. Are we going to live a holy life? You know, that's what matters. God knows our lives. He knows our hearts. Just a couple more questions that I want you to think about. I like questions because it makes me think. Couple questions. Are you a holy person? You know, we face a lot of temptations. The devil bombards us with a lot of evil. Just the world we live in. Am I a holy person? You know, what happens when I'm on my phone, when you're on your phone or some device, and something pops up that is anything but holy, and no one's watching you? Just the things that you and I face. You know, to the youth, when you leave this parking lot and you hit that power button from your stereo or your phone, what music's gonna play? You know, you can't listen to the unholy music and be a holy person. It can't be done. Can't be. Well, you get down with a lot of temptations, but you and I are facing them as we go through life, and we need to keep running. We need to be a holy person. You know, God knows our hearts. He even knows our thoughts. He created us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And it's very clear to God. We are, you know, we're the ones that make it fuzzy sometimes. To God, here's the line. It's either holy or unholy. The line's very clear to God. So the question is, do you and I have a heart after God? Remember, there will be no sin in heaven. There won't be. We're not going to slide in a sinful person. Be no sin in heaven. Verse 14 makes it very clear. If we're not living a holy life, we will not spend eternity in heaven. It's that simple. So may God help us to live holy lives. Just a few thoughts in closing. A couple questions. Are you still running the race set before you? Are you going to be part of that cloud of witnesses? Are you living a life of peace and holiness? You know, if today you feel weary, exalted, and tempted to give up on this race you're running for God, My prayer is that the Lord will give you the strength and endurance you need to continue running your race to the end. We want to cross that finish line. My prayer is that God would give you the patience to master all the things that you're facing right now. I don't know what you're facing, but as we go through life, there's a lot of difficult things. Look to God. Be patient. He'll help you through it. And my prayer is that he would give you a divine determination so that you would not give up and that you would finish your race. Just remember, the crown of life will only be given to those who finish the race faithfully. So God bless you as you run your race this week. Let's be faithful. Let's come before the Lord in a kneeling prayer.